Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand live from Patriots training camp once again this morning. Hi, Zo.
It's good to be back. Good to be back at camp. It's good to have you back.
Oh, thank you.
That's right. You were out.
How were the last couple of days? Were they good?
Oh, they were outstanding.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You and Hardy, right?
Yeah, Hardy's mother-in-law actually made excellent sandwiches on focaccia bread.
Oh, wow.
Shocking how good the sandwiches were.
She's pretty cocky
about it, too. She's like, yeah, they're good sandwiches. Yeah. So we dealt with that.
We are again here at Patriots training camp. Mm-hmm. When they are practicing and there is open practice, we are here. The only place you can get live coverage of Patriots training camp. Us. Right now.
Yep.
Just so you know. What's so funny over there? Well, you're looking for the EEI? I don't see them. They didn't show up again.
Over there?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, they were here day one.
This isn't important to them. It's okay.
We all have different values, and
we value things differently.
Shows are all flipping around anyway.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. We're here.
Yeah. We're here. Patriots practice, we come down, we're here. And this
Patriots
hour,
practice, Zone Bertrand, here.
Boom.
Bam.
And we can tell you that what we just saw a minute ago is Marcus Cannon has left another practice.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll leave it at that.
That's what we can tell you.
That's what we can tell
Marcus
you.
Marcus Cannon has left practice again.
This is for a second time last week.
And
second time in six practices he's done this.
Happened again.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that and see what comes of it. This hour of training camp coverage from Foxborough is also sponsored by Northern Bank. Our thanks to Northern Bank for supporting our coverage all throughout training camp here in Foxborough. As the Patriots get back to business today on the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium. We will, of course, give you all the observations once this practice wraps up, and we'll be talking to players. Until then, we can't say too much, so we will wait for that. Let's start with the big news of last night, though, which is with the Red Sox. Chris Sale going to the disabled list, 10-day DL, and the Red Sox are going into overdrive to downplay this and tell us it's no big deal.
Which sends off red flags or turns on the red light.
Yeah, this came out of nowhere.
Okay. Now, if you had a four-game set coming up against, say, Baltimore, right? Baltimore or Tampa, four-game set at home.
Yeah.
Chris Sale, retroactive, you're going to put him on a 10-day DL. I don't think it's that big a deal, right? Because nice little cushion against the New York Yankees. You're up six games or whatever you're up. You're going to try and save Chris Sale for the end, and I understand all that. Little inflammation. Better to be safe than sorry. We've been talking about this Yankees series for how many weeks now? Starting tomorrow. How many weeks have we been talking about it? Like, this is the series that's either going to make or break the New York Yankees. The Red Sox have done a nice enough job to give themselves a nice cushion here. Not to the point where you say Chris Sale is your best pitcher against the Yankees, right? He has pitched really well against the New York Yankees. So for him to get out there and throw the ball and beat the Yankees and then go up seven. And who the hell cares what happens after that? But to set the tone against the New York Yankees would be huge. The fact he's missing a start against the Yankees and how they're responding to it and how they're going, like you called it, overdrive to say nothing to see here, nothing to see here, everything's fine, is a little bit concerning. It's a little bit concerning to me.
Well, it should be. It's
because
suspicious.
It sort of now puts it on, you know who, all on David Price.
Chris Sale.
Not that David Price is going to pitch four games, but of the guys left, David Price is your best pitcher, and he has not pitched well against this team.
Chris Sale in his last nine starts, though, has an ERA of 0.75.
Chris Sale Blutarski.
In his last nine starts, he has struck out 97 batters.
He's your guy. He's your ace.
Last nine starts.
Yeah.
Okay. He has been fabulous going back to really the start of June. And he's looked so good. And this yesterday was a complete shock. No one saw this coming. In fact, we have talked about how the Red Sox have done a good job of managing his innings.
Yes.
And managing his number of pitches per outing.
Right.
We talked about that last week.
I mean, could this be as much a case as he woke up one morning and, you know, sometimes you wake up and your neck.
That's not what they're saying.
Not like you got hit by a truck, but or a car. But sometimes you wake up and you got a creak in your neck, or, you know, you slept wrong on your shoulder. This seems to me like, okay, we already crossed our T's, dotted our I's. We got this guy an MRI. We see some inflammation in there. So let's sit his ass down.
There were no MRIs.
Do you know that?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Oh, okay.
Here's Dave Dombrowski yesterday.
Well, let's hear the whole thing. I don't know how much to believe, but go ahead.
Dana came in, and I was wondering what it was about. I was caught completely by surprise, but they had told me Chris had some mild inflammation in his shoulder, left shoulder, and that they really thought that was best that he didn't pitch on Thursday. So I said, okay, well, let's deal with it. They had indicated they thought that he probably didn't even want to go on the DL. He felt he'd be able to make his next start after that, but I think he'll be back soon, based upon what they're saying. I wouldn't be surprised if he pitched, and I heard the comment beforehand. I think it's more a matter when I say it's a buildup that's better than it just being acute injury.
So it caught him completely by surprise, yet it was a buildup. It wasn't an acute injury that came out of nowhere. It's been something that has been building apparently.
Something he's basically telling you, we've been watching this, and okay, since it's a buildup, maybe there's 13% inflammation. Now it went to 19. All of a sudden, we're at 23. And now at 39, the red flags are being waved. And we're going to put him on a 10-day DL.
Well, he also talked about grip, that his grip this year may have caused some of the strain. And that's why it was a buildup.
So, Chris Sale, how many years has he been in the major leagues now? And is it all of a sudden going to change his grip? I thought you were just managing innings.
He has tweaked his grip.
Don't take that one, Jim.
Don't look at me like that.
I mean, okay, this is the problem when you go out there.
Today's Wednesday. You're trying
to be honest.
See you Friday.
And the job of the GM is to do what? Spin things positively.
The new grip on his slider may have contributed to the inflammation.
Okay.
He changed the grip on his slider.
Well, how does Dave Dombrowski follow it up with this has been a build-up comment where this has completely caught him by surprise.
It feels contradictory right there.
Yeah. Because this
it caught him completely by surprise. But it was a buildup. By the way,
he'll flat out tell you that Dustin Pedroia's got a bum knee, guys. Get used to it. Get ready for it. Dustin's knee is bad.
He was right about that.
He was right.
I do feel like...
I hope he's right about this.
The theme of yesterday with Dave Dombrowski was...
Get the hell out of Dodge.
I'll say anything that gets any sort of criticism.
We didn't make any big moves.
I will try and cover every possible base to not be criticized for anything. All right, that was Dave Dombrowski sort of downplaying it. Here's Chris Sale talking about the injury.
I'm not too worried about this. I know that, you know, we're the Boston Red Sox and all this other stuff, but I'm not too worried about it. I'm very optimistic that this is going to be a very short stint on the DL. So, but, you know, with it being the DL, people get kind of antsy, so... but I'm not worried about it at all.
Not worried about it at all.
Now, he's got a very deep delivery to begin with. You know, I make fun of him because he sounds like Bledsoe. Not make fun, but I said he sounds a lot like Bledsoe, that tired, deliberate voice. He sounds, now for him and how he's sounded before, he sounds a little down. Is he down because he's missing the start, or is he down because, shoot, I have something. I want it to go away, but I don't know when it's going to go away. But I think it's going to go away pretty soon. So let's all remain optimistic here. I mean, this isn't where all of a sudden he misses a start against the Yankees. Yankees come in here without Judge and Sanchez. Say the Yankees respond well in a series. What does this do for the standings? What's this do for the perception of the team? As good as you feel about this team right now, Jim Murray actually removed one of those little spokes off his asterisk yesterday.
I saw that.
Called it
a big boy
win against Philadelphia the other night. I wonder if the asterisk gets another spoke added to it.
Possibly.
You have to tune in at 2 for that. That's not our show.
See what happens.
I don't worry about that. But that's the way people feel. You know, we're sitting here, we're waiting, we're hoping this team's going to win the East. You lock it up and make them play the playing game. Let's see what the hell happens. But this is everything that's got to be right for you when the postseason starts. Is Chris Sale's got to be great. He's the guy. Like, God forbid you'd have to play a playing game. Like, he would pitch it. Then you'd find a way to sort of, you know, get the next guy up and go, which I guess is Price. Mm-hmm. Say the game's close, but Price goes out in the end. Would you put Chris Sale in there, you know, to help, you know, bolster a bullpen, then get him another start off rest?
All I know,
like, he's your horse, man.
Is traditionally September, August, September, and even into October have been the worst months for Chris Sale in his career.
Mass has been all over this.
The end of the season is a bit of a problem for Chris Sale historically. And I think we saw that last year, did we not?
Yeah.
Did we not see it by the time the playoffs rolled around?
We had that nice strikeout.
And so that is why there was a big emphasis on taking care of him this year, which Alex Cora has done a really good job of doing. We've covered that. That we've been over that before. Okay? Has it worked? Right now it doesn't look like it's worked. Doesn't look like it's prevented any injury. He's now on the DL.
They've been talking about this since spring training, right?
And I can tell you this, even if he makes it back and he's going to make it back. But even if it's only this one start that he misses and he comes back and he said, I'm not too concerned, just this one start, I'll be back out there.
He's been lights out.
Aren't you now automatically concerned that everything that has happened to him in August, September, October, throughout his career is going to happen all over again? And the Red Sox are going to get the same result at the end with him as they did a year ago? And as the White Sox did at various points.
Look at the response on social media. Everybody's like, oh, crap. Look at our text chain. You're like, holy bleep. You got to be effing kidding me.
I mean, he's the one dynamite sure thing that you really didn't have any concerns about this year was Chris Sale. And I think all those concerns just came back.
That's why
it's so surprising. That's why it's shocking.
I had three things listed that I'm not concerned with entering the playoffs. One's Mookie Betts, the other one's J.D. Martinez, and the last one's Chris Sale. All of a sudden, you take one of them off. Now it's up to those two guys. God forbid something would happen to Betts where he would pull up or something, you know? But we'll see what happens. I mean, this is a little bit alarming. When you're hitting the breaking news sound, I remember my poll yesterday, or breaking news, I'm thinking, oh, God,
what's going on?
Patriots signed Eric Decker. That's what I was waiting, and Murray read.
You're going to do a lap around the pool if that happens.
They threw it to him, a couple cannonballs.
You're going to get off the pink flamingo float and mix another drink.
They threw it to Tim McCone. A lot of electricity there in the headlines yesterday.
Yeah.
Saw him downstairs. He's like a different guy with a TV camera.
Really?
Yeah. He's got his Providence 10 shirt on. He's like, hey, how's everybody doing? I'm like, look at you, Anchorman.
Local Anchorman.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the Chris Sale story. Your thoughts on that? 617-779-0985. Also, no deadline day moves for dealing Dave Dombrowski yesterday. No moves made yesterday by the Red Sox. They made three moves. None of them addressed their bullpen issue. Want to get to that and Dave Dombrowski's comments yesterday about the deadline. That is coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand.
The Pats are back on the field. It's training camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Toll 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
But we think realistically that our bullpen's pretty good. Some of the additions that we think the improvements can come from within. And so when you start looking at players outside the organization that were available, we think we have comparable players internally in most cases. We have three guys in particular. Tyler Thornburg has thrown the ball extremely well. Really, it's hard to find a guy better than that at this point. And sometimes it's the name rather than the performance that people look. So Thornburg at this time is not very highly known. Brazier has thrown the ball great for us. I mean, he's touching 99 last night with a good slider. And when you're saying, okay, well, where are you going to get somebody that's better than him? We really couldn't find it. And we all know the importance of Joe Kelly. We think we found something mechanically. The last two outings have been good once again. So you start talking about those three guys. Hembree's thrown the ball well. Barnes has thrown the ball well.
Man, get the plaques ready in Cooperstown for that bullpen. Get them ready.
Is he hammered?
Oh, my God.
Thornburg, Barnes, Kelly?
Oh, Dave Dombrowski, you kill me.
You and I aren't baseball beat guys. You know, I'm not the biggest baseball guy. But I know your bullpen sucks right now.
That's a little strong, though. It doesn't suck.
Kimbrel's good.
No,
take Kimbrel out of
there. One specific problem.
Your closer is good. Your eighth inning is awful. Well, that's a big part of your bullpen.
The eighth inning is a problem.
That's a big part of your bullpen in a 2-1 game in the postseason.
Absolutely.
Okay, that is a massive part. That is the most, you could say that's a higher pressure cooker type situation than a guy being up with a guy on second, and it's a tie game, and it's a 3-2 count.
Do you know what I think?
Eighth inning leverage, yes. Is you're coming in to set it up for your guy.
So, now they were reportedly talking to other teams, and
Joe Kelly.
Kelvin Herrera from the Nationals was reportedly the guy that the Red Sox were close to getting, and Dombrowski said, you know, we're close to landing a guy, and the other team backed out. According to reports, that was Kelvin Herrera, which means Dombrowski was making calls about potentially adding a reliever.
But he also said, we weren't going to strip our farm system because we're trying to continue to build that. Well, why don't you, was Jackie Bradley ever in a discussion?
I don't know.
Shouldn't he have been? Like, if you say, well,
I don't know what his value is.
You don't have the pieces. Well, it's pretty obvious. People on the outside, people outside of the city value him differently or look at him differently. Because I've never seen a fan base react to a guy, a center field major league baseball player that catches the baseball, and he catches it quite well. I will give him the credit for that. But it's like the second coming of Fred Lynn.
Well, I can tell you this. In a playoff series, I start to value defense more. I do.
Okay.
I think
you're a guy that would want to hang on to
at that time of year.
And you should be a Jackie Bradley guy.
My point is that if you're not going to trade the guy for the sake of trading him. If there was a team that wanted him and you could turn that into relief help, then I would do it. But I'm not going to say that opportunity presented itself. I have no idea.
You don't know that. But obviously they don't have the young talent or the farm system. So then you got to look to on-field guys and say it could have been him that would have been the deciding thing to get a guy like Britton instead of the Yankees guy.
All I know is that there were guys out there that you could get. You could have gone after Brad Hand, but that would have required paying.
Hahn. Brad Hahn.
He was paid. He got paid for, I should say. Cleveland gave up what is considered one of the best, if not the best, catching prospect in all baseball. Like, they gave up a prime prospect for him. So they gave up something good. The Yankees paid the price for Britton that the Red Sox weren't willing to pay because the Red Sox wanted a discount because they'd have to go into the luxury tax and pay the penalty on his salary, which the Orioles laughed at them for.
Nah.
Why is that our problem? So they did go after relievers. They did. They can't deny that.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So why is he so high on his bullpen?
Well, it's nice to say you were in, but then you start comparing what you have.
I just don't know what I'm saying.
The names are out there. And, wow, hey, look, once you're in it, we're realizing that what we have is actually better than what's out there.
I don't know what I'm supposed to believe with this guy.
That's what he said.
Am I supposed to believe that?
Should you be more scared or afraid that that's something he actually believes?
Here's what I am going to say. All the other teams that are in this hunt in the American League, and it's really the Yankees and the Astros. They upgraded their bullpen, and even Cleveland, who wants to be that outside threat, they upgraded their bullpen. That's what's happened. They all upgraded their bullpen, and you didn't.
And you better be able to hit.
And you can make the case that you needed it more than anybody.
I think you do.
Do you know what I think they're hoping for? Do you know what I think Dave Dombrowski and the Red Sox are hoping for? Hoping for the playoffs and the postseason to play out exactly the way it did last year. Which is, everyone's just going to hit a million home runs.
Yeah.
And you're going to hit their way to wins.
You're going
to
take your hitting and rely on it.
Because if you go back to the World Series last year, the bullpen for the Astros, the team that won it all, was terrible against the Dodgers in that series.
Mm-hmm.
Through the first five games of the World Series last year, you ready for this stat? Again, this from the team that won it. They had pitched through five games, 19 innings, had an ERA as a bullpen of 7.58. They had given up 16 hits, 16 runs, 5 home runs, and they walked 9 in 19 innings.
That's an anomaly, I would say.
Their bullpen got their ass handed to them in that series.
It's normally not the case when you're a World Series champion.
But they hit a million home runs.
A whole lineup.
And the whole postseason was nothing but home runs.
Whole lineup.
And if that's the way it plays out again, well, then I think the Red Sox will be okay. And their bullpen won't be a big factor. But how do they know that's going to be the way it goes?
I don't know.
It just feels like, you look at the Red Sox going into the deadline and going into the month of July. They have an eighth inning problem. They should address the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
They traded for three guys that don't address the eighth inning. I'm not sure I totally understand the methods behind that. Mm.
And we all know the importance of Joe Kelly.
Oh, stop it. The importance of Joe.
You guys made fun of me for that 2 months ago.
What?
I laughed at Joe Kelly 2 months ago when David Price talked about him voting for him for the All-Star game.
I remember that differently.
Yeah, he's good, though. Yeah, he's good.
He
He's good.
Statistically, he was good. Yeah. It was not absurd for someone to vote in the month of June for Joe Kelly for the All-Star game. That is all based on what your performance was. His performance was good. Did anyone here say that they were buying in on Joe Kelly?
No.
In
I
fact,
just thought it was funny when it
the
came
complete
out of
opposite was
mouth.
Said. The complete opposite.
Yeah. You don't trust him, right?
Not
you
at
don't
all.
Trust him.
Not at all.
But the GM understands the importance of him. So, guy can throw smoke and he can't control it.
617-779-0985. We all. What did he say? We all played against him. We all
understand the importance of a guy
do
like
we?
Joe Kelly.
Do
and we all
understand
know the importance of Joe Kelly.
Let me give you a scenario. Heart of the Yankees lineup is coming up in a game five situation in a 2-2 game in the eighth inning. You trust Joe Kelly to throw the ball over the plate in that situation? You trust Joe Kelly to make pitches and get outs?
No, I trust Joe Kelly to maybe hit one of their batters and get in another fight with the Yankees. That's what I love about Joe Kelly.
I would expect Joe Kelly to be a puddle
plunk,
and hit
somebody in the ass, right?
Yeah, not even on purpose this time.
But then at least go after the guy. I respect Joe Kelly for that.
Do you trust Matt Barnes in that situation?
No.
Who do you trust outside of Craig Kimbrell right now?
By default, it's
who do you hand the ball to?
By default, it's got to be Thornburg.
Well, seriously, okay.
Or Voldy. Maybe at that point, and once you're in that so-called game five, and where you can set your rotation to where Chris Sale is going to get the ball twice, and maybe help you in a pinch, you would probably think it would be Voldy. Right now, you're looking at it. Maybe he didn't say Valdi's name, but he went to Thornburg, Barnes, Kelly, because they're there now. You got to get the confidence going.
We should all hope that the playoffs go the same way they did a year ago, where teams can rely on their offense.
Wow.
If that's the way it goes, the Red Sox will be okay.
Yeah.
Mark is in Medford.
The team's good. They can hit. Go. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday when the Red Sox didn't make any moves for the bullpen, is that it seems like they're going to say, we're going to beat you with our bats and not our pitching. And I don't think that is a smart move.
Well, only time will tell. It's not the way I would go about doing it. I would have gone, first need to address is that bullpen. It's not getting Steve Pierce. It's not going after a starting pitcher, and it's not acquiring a second baseman, Ian Kinsler, who the Red Sox did acquire. In fact, I'm a fan of that move.
It's a good player.
It's not what I would prioritize. It's not what I would do before going out and getting a reliever.
Well, Little Leader ain't coming back. Not that you need depth there, but it's nice to have that depth there.
Yeah, why don't
people
we talk
kept
about
saying
that?
They don't need the depth.
Let's talk about
they
Ian Kinsler,
need some depth.
Who had his first game as a member of the Red Sox last night at Fenway Park. Talking about Kinsler. Kinsla, as everyone's going to call him. Ian Kinsler, now a member of the Red Sox. Why don't we discuss that? Coming back on the other side of these headlines. Stay tuned.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox have the night off before a big four-game series with the Yankees this weekend at Fenway Park. Chris Sale placed on the 10-day DL yesterday with left shoulder inflammation. Yesterday's trade deadline came and went with no help coming to the Red Sox for the bullpen. But Dave Dombrowski, you must have been close to making a deal, right?
No, we did not. My instincts were that last night, just based upon conversations. We probably came closer to doing something else last night. That didn't happen, and I think once that took place, then I really didn't have much of a feel that we would do something today. Call here, call there, but not much. So, no, we did not come close to doing anything.
All right. Red Sox lost to the Phillies 3-1 last night, splitting the quick two-game set at Fenway. As for the upcoming Yankees series, one of the newest Yankees, J.A. Happ, sent to a local hospital yesterday afternoon with a mild case of hand, foot, and mouth disease. Ugh. Putting his start in jeopardy this weekend at Fenway Park. Training camp continues for the Patriots. Today, Zolak and Bertrand are there live. More with them coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Our defense at second base was not great. It was okay. We kind of we're hoping all along that Dustin would come back, and maybe he will come back in September, but there's no assurances to that. I can't say we don't expect him to return, but we're not anticipating that he's going to be. He may come back. Last night, there was a lot happening after the game. Of course, extra inning game ends real quickly. Just made the trade talking to players. Guys at AAA were still in the game because there was an extra inning game going on. But one of the things we did, Alex and I talked about, and Alex called Dustin just to let him know we were making the deal so he was not caught by surprise. But I don't think that he needs that pressure to have to come back anyway. And if he does, we'll happily deal with it at the time.
That's Dave Dombrowski. Was that clear, concise, and to the point on Dustin Pedroia? Huh. What is that? He's not coming back. Just leave it at that. He's not coming back. Anyone with any sort of sense would say Pedroia's done for the year.
Yeah.
You don't go out and acquire Ian Kinsler so that Pedroia can come back.
Thank you.
Dealing with the injury, the microfracture healing that is going on with Dustin Pedroia.
I think Kinsler's a good pickup.
I do, too. Yeah. Listen, I'm not against the Kinsler move. My only gripe with the Red Sox at the deadline is that they didn't address their bullpen situation.
Right.
I understand. There are guys that are throwing better. They've transitioned guys into the bullpen. They're hopeful for better performances going forward.
Right.
Fine.
And you talked about this, too, before you went away for a couple days. Like, you can't get a higher ceiling, higher value as far as shopping a guy than right now for Jackie Bradley at the age of 29.
Oh, yeah.
Or else you made the decision he's here forever. I mean.
But just because
he should have been on.
See, this is what I go back
to. But he should have been on the table for a guy like a Britton. You know,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, just because you're selling high.
A high-end, helpful, back into your bullpen, closer, eighth-inning guy. He should have been on the table.
You think someone's going to give you Zach Britton for Jackie? You think the Orioles would have done that deal?
There's people here. You would make a poll for this show right now.
They don't want that.
80% of the people here locally wouldn't want to give up Jackie Bradley Jr. for that guy.
Okay, but the bad
teams. Do you understand
that? So, the Orioles. I look at the Orioles and say, I got to hand it to them.
They don't want him.
They did a decent job of accumulating good prospects.
Why would we want a below 200 hitter? Why would the Orioles ever want a below 200?
They just traded Scope yesterday, too. They made more trades. Wheeling and dealing down there.
Everybody's
first, it was Machado, who I don't think they maximized his value. Then they traded Britton. They've traded other, and they got some decent prospects. They've started to accumulate some guys. It feels like they've done okay. What do they want your major league level talent for? The bad teams don't want, in most situations, major league level talent. They want the future prospects.
Say a guy like a Bryce Harper stays in the National League for a while. Like your window for winning might be bigger than you actually expect because it seems like all the good talent's leaving the American League.
Back to the point, though, which is this. I actually like the other moves that the Red Sox made.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pierce was a good,
it's a good pickup.
Little pickup.
Yep.
I think that's a guy who can help. I like the Kinsler pickup. They have a real second baseman now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not this Brock Holt, Nunez, somebody who sucks out their situation. That's a real second baseman. Someone who's defensively you can count on and to be a reliable, good second baseman. The other part is, I think he can hit better than what he's done this year. We've seen it. I don't think he's done. I think the guy can still hit a little bit. He's had some good stretches. His season number's not great, but I look at the Kinsler move and say, okay, at least that's a legit player who you can plug in and play every day.
Right.
That's better than the Pierce move.
It's a group of players where you can look at Nunez, you can look at Holt, you look at Kinsler, you put the names right there on the list, and there's one guy pops out and says, that's a guy that can be an everyday player.
He's an everyday player.
The rest of them, it's like, flip a coin.
Well, pitcher, you're getting, when you're talking about pitching.
Yeah.
That's technically an everyday player if you're making your start every 5 days. Yeah, I don't dislike the moves they made. I just wish they had made one that I think should have been prioritized, which
has been your problem the whole year.
The problem that's been here all year.
There's a question mark coming into the year. Like, what do you have to get to Kimbrel? What do you have to get to Kimbrel? How was Alex Cora? And that's a matter of topic, too, here as this thing moves forward. Say the division tightens up. Is that going to put more pressure on Cora now to use Kimbrel in, say, four-out, five-out type save opportunities against good teams? Like that team you played last night and the night before, good team. Team that's above 500. It's the only team in the last month you played that's above 500.
I don't understand why the Red Sox have to keep saying, like, Pedroia could come back in September.
I think it's for him. Publicly saying, hey, you're still our guy. Keep working hard. Don't shut it down. You do that. You say he's gone. He's no chance coming back. Player shuts it down. Mentally.
They sent him home.
Mentally and physically.
Him home.
I know that.
He's not even here. He's back in Arizona. I mean, What more evidence?
There's reasons teams say that.
He should realize it at this point.
Oh, he should. But, I mean, from a team standpoint, publicly and a fan standpoint, that guy's on for the book. That guy's on your books for a couple more years, man. You want to keep people, you know, people like that player.
Yeah.
Dustin Pedroia's been here. He's homegrown. He's one of yours. You know, it's one of the more likable players on the team. I know things have changed over the years, but let's face it. He's the face of your locker room.
617-779-0985. This is the update from Patriots training camp. We come to you live from Foxborough today. Two players have left the practice with trainers today due to injuries. The first one was Marcus Cannon, which we told you about early in the show today.
I'm concerned with that one.
That's the second time during this training camp that he has left the practice field. The other one is an entirely new concern.
Jerod Mayo.
And what? I'm sorry?
Jerod Mayo. Wasn't it?
What?
51 left.
Oh, no. I had no idea what the hell you were talking about there. That would be Patriots rookie running back Sony Michel.
Who's wearing 51.
Has left today with trainers. He was walking slowly as he departed. I don't know what the injury is. I don't know what the issue is. He is gone as well. Two guys have left practice today with trainers.
Haven't really done much yet. A lot of sort of tight install because they're in pads. It looks like, you know, when you're in pads, obviously you're concentrating more on the running game, interior work. A lot of lineman work here going on as they move from drill to drill. Really can't talk about what they're doing, but not a lot of team stuff or competitive team stuff where the red zone. I would expect them to go 11-on-11 red zone here today, or maybe some blitz period out around the 50. So we'll tell you what's going on as that transpires.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Troy, who's in Dorchester. Hey, Troy.
How you guys doing today?
What's up?
What's up, G?
Is this O-line in trouble? I mean, it's worse than it was last year, and last year it wasn't, like, top-notch. Is this O-line in trouble?
Minute. I mean, you're replacing Solder with Trent Brown, who's a massive human being. And
he is.
From what I've seen so far, and it's only been six practices, he's looked really good, Troy. That means Skarnecki has done a nice job with him. But I'm also concerned from this. I talked to Bob Soucy this the other day. You know, San Francisco told him he's a dominating player. He's a pancake guy. He'll run guys. Why is he available? If you have Jimmy Garoppolo as a franchise guy, you signed $127 million. Why the hell are you letting this big tackle go? This guy's a mammoth human being. But you also added Isaiah Wynn in the first round. That beefs you up in the middle. So I think right now I would say the line may be a tick below of what it was last year because how good Solder was, even though people didn't like
Nate. Are we counting on a rookie, though?
A rookie guard, I'd take him. Joe Tooney played well. David Andrews played well. Brian Stork. You name any rookie they've had at the guard or tackle or guard or center position, and they flourished here under Skarnecki.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Troy. Appreciate the call.
I mean, it's sort of plug and play in the middle. Shaq Mason has elevated his play to the point. He may not be here long because that guy's going to get paid. You look at what guards are making now, high-end guards. He's one of your high-end guards. Andrews is an anchor at center. He ain't going anywhere. He's good. Marcus Cannon now walks off for the second time in a week. That all of a sudden elevates Adrian Waddle to right tackle. So you have two sort of – we know what Waddle is. I don't think there's a high ceiling for Waddle. But he's a functional player at this level because he's well coached by Skarnecki. So he'll be the right tackle, Trent Brown left. A little uncertainty there on the edge. And, I mean, there may be some current concerns here from a depth perspective at the receiver position. You know, without seeing guys like Malcolm Mitchell, who's down there running on the other field, you know, guys that tweak things. You've seen Kenny Britt tweak something. What's going on with Jordan Matthews here? You know, you talk about him at the beginning of last week. Chris Hogan looks good. Edelman looks good. You're not going to have Edelman for four games. You know, all of a sudden, Berrios, he's going to get opportunities. Patterson, the damn kick returner, he's going to be maybe your number two receiver, you know, week one in the huddle, unless they bring somebody in.
So. All right, we'll talk more Patriots coming up in the 11 o'clock hour as practice winds down, and we'll hopefully be speaking to some Patriots players as well. Coming up next, a story about the New York Yankees and one of their pitchers that I find absolutely disgusting. You ever seen hand, foot, and mouth up close, though?
My kids have had it.
Isn't it awful?
Yeah.
Yeah, a major league pitcher has that right now.
Yeah, stop licking your fingers when you touch the baseball.
We'll talk about it next.
I can't keep my hands to myself.
Jay Happ the other day, right?
Uh-huh.
They had to send him to a hospital on Tuesday, yesterday. And he's been diagnosed with hand, foot, and mouth disease, according to Yankees general manager Brian Cashman.
Finger licker. It's like one of the interns.
What do you mean?
Like, you see the interns over there. He's always bent over, like, licking his fingers.
I'm it's
like,
a virus, though. So. What the hell are you talking about?
Get it. You contract it.
Adults don't typically get this.
Are you licking babies?
How did that happen?
I don't know. Have your kids ever had it?
Yes. And it looks awful, and you can tell it's painful, and it's just disgusting. All of it is gross.
Cashman called it a mild case, right?
Mild? Is there such a thing?
That's what I asked.
What do you mean, like, mild?
It's like, hey, you got the flu, but I got a mild case of the flu.
You get this rash that comes out on the hands, around the mouth, on the face. That's why they call it hand, foot, and mouth. You get this disgusting, blistering rash.
No, you see, I think there are mild cases of it. My kid, like one of my kids, had a mild case of it once, and
get in the mouth and not.
Yeah,
the
but
hand.
It's still disgusting. It's still not like you any. It, sure, it's better.
You couldn't.
There's
even,
degrees of everything.
See, he's got these big leaky blisters on his fingers.
Like, oh, he's only got it on the mouth. He doesn't have it on the hands or the feet.
That
like,
may help.
Oh,
you,
that's still disgusting.
It may help you take 2 inches off your curveball. Yeah, it's like licking your fingers.
Did you get my point on that, Hardy? Like, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Just a
like,
lot of pus on the ball, and there's no way of keeping it off of there.
Take a rotation. Not a leaky blister to where it's like water, but to Hardy's point, sort of that sticky, gooey pus. Like, that'll take 2 inches off a curve.
When one of my kids had it, all it looked like was, you know, when you get like a callus on you know, like where your finger meets your hand there, except it was not even that tough, and how the skin will peel off a little bit. It was on the on the palm of their hand in like a couple of spots. That was it. And they had a low-grade fever for like a day or two. And
I think the doctors, they were misdiagnosed. I don't even think they really had it, Hardy.
So you think that you
my
think,
kids had it?
You think they had strep throat and they had been on the monkey bars? And that's, okay. All right.
Yes.
They were using totally
mouse streptococcal virus bacteria there. Yeah. My kids had it, so, and it was like the worst part for them. And this is where you can't help but feel bad for your kids whenever they're sick, right? But there's degrees of that, too. The blisters, like the blisters that were on their feet, they couldn't walk.
See, that's
like they
that's
couldn't even
case.
Walk. Yeah, it hurt so bad.
One of my kids had it mildly. It's even like sometimes when you get strep,
and they'll get it at school. Like it was going
your
around
not
the school.
Red.
The whole freaking school got it.
Oh, great.
Oh, it's just gross.
Nasty schools.
That's what school, but at least. At least it's contained to the children most of the time, right? So you can at least care for your kids because you didn't get
kids
sick.
In a room. Yeah, lock them in a room,
right?
Keep them in there.
How did J-Hap come down with this?
He's got kids at home. I don't know.
But adults don't typically get it. So apparently adults can get this.
Oh, but if you never had chicken pox, you never had
I believe NBC Sports Boston is showing. We don't have a monitor here. We can't see.
I can't
believe
see
they're showing photos of hand, foot, and mouth.
They were.
Is,
they were. Yes, it was. It's not all that bad. It's just a bunch of red.
You
want to
do something really
head.
Neat? It's like when we were talking about Kyrie's knee. That's going to be the cool thing about, you know, being on TV now. When you Google the surgery to remove that wire that holds your entire kneecap together, and you see the visual pictures, you'll be able to put that on TV now when we're talking about Kyrie during basketball.
So I just Googled hand, foot, and mouth disease in adults, and the first thing that comes up is a WebMD page that says symptoms include ulcers or sores inside or around the mouth, a rash or blisters on the hands, feet, legs, or buttocks. Why don't we call it hand, foot, mouth, and butt
it's like
disease?
Diaper. It's like, you know what it is?
Well, we just conveniently left that one out.
It's like having diaper rash, but then like you have like body diaper rash.
It does say,
body.
Though, anyone can get the disease, but children under the age of 10 are most likely to catch it.
It's disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah, sometimes
fever,
when you used to wrestle.
Blisters.
I used to wrestle when I was a kid. And those mats you would contract these rashes and, like, impetigo. And, you know, the blistering rash. It's disgusting.
I think it's impetigo.
Impetigo
what
or whatever it is, however the heck you pronounce it. Like, the whole team at impetigo. And it had like
they had a potato. What
they had a potato.
Whole team had like
drill,
umpteen potatoes. We're trying to gain weight. We're trying to all move up a class.
You told me to get to 135. You know. Yeah, I thought I was wrestling heavyweight. Impetigo. Yeah, just nasty stuff.
Is that the same? Yeah. That is similar.
Yeah, it's similar. I remember the body rashes. It was gross.
Yeah,
like
that's
scabs.
Caused by bacteria.
Scabs,
though.
Scabs, yeah.
Strep and staph.
Yeah. Oh.
According to what I'm seeing here.
At least it's not MRSA.
So usually caused by staph and staph bacteria.
He's a former Patriot tight end. Had the MRSA.
Oh, that's
David.
Really dangerous.
It was when he was with the Giants. They thought he was going to lose a foot or a leg. That's how bad it was. They had to redo their whole locker room.
Well, remember because that's like staph, but it's resistant to antibiotics.
Yeah.
That's really bad strain.
Ooh.
So it was but Fells, right?
David Fells. Thank you.
There you go. Good
job,
memory.
Tom.
T-Bone.
From the top rope.
I like hearing T-Bone.
Which intern's in today?
Does T-Bone have his own mic now?
Yeah.
He does.
That he can use regularly? Oh, yeah. I like that.
Put it up louder.
Yeah, he needs to be a little louder.
David Fells.
Yeah, he needs to be louder. You know,
he's a...
Tori Krug bought T-Bone coffee at the local Starbucks
yesterday. Hey, T-Bone, what happened? You walked into Starbucks in the North End?
Yeah, we're good coffee buddies now.
Coffee buddies.
Pretty
Who
much
was he with?
Pretty much best friends.
He was with his wife.
Yeah, he was with his wife. They bought me a coffee. Very nice guy.
Big spender. Nice of the $6 million player to buy you coffee.
It is. That's
up, Krug?
That's the nice thing to do. He's a nice guy.
He knows we're on TV, too.
I know. Krug is tapped in.
Yeah.
Krug, you know,
he's
all these players pretend like they have no idea what you're doing.
They all watch.
He's asking Tom about the new studio.
Yeah, how do they like
how's TV going?
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
I think they all listen except for when we're talking about their sport.
Bingo.
Which he's the most brilliant man I've ever talked to about this. He tells us that when we start talking hockey, he turns it off.
I would too.
That's what every player should do.
Yep.
We start talking about your team, don't listen.
He's the anti-David Price. That's the way
he
Price
wants
should
to
be.
Listen to everything but
David,
the hockey talk.
If you're David Price, you're driving around in your tank, and you have sports radio on, turn it off.
Krug could give talks to local athletes about this.
Yeah.
And we'd all be better for it.
Red Sox
They'd
should bring
be
him
happier.
In. Yeah.
We'd deal with less crap.
Not sensitive. Most non-sensitive athlete we've ever dealt with.
Who?
Krug.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to listen to this.
They were like, Krug's got to get it. We'd be like, Krug's got to get it going. He hasn't scored in, 37 games? That period? Oh, he might be on the bubble.
He'd be like, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
guys.
Maybe you deal him at the trade deadline. Right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But hand, foot, and mouth for Jay Happ. Yuck. Oh, God, that is disgusting. I wouldn't go near him. Now that I know that adults can get it, I want to stay away. Unless it's your own kids, I guess. Then you're sort of
in.
You're in it.
You know when you go out to the ballpark and you start warming up and you're playing a little toss at 10 yards?
Catch the ball and drop it.
I ain't catching with
him. Pick up a new ball.
You know what? You go catch. He's over there with some trainer with, gloves on playing catch.
I'll tell you what, Hap. Take that bucket of balls, and you just keep reaching in and throwing a new one. I'm going to catch it with my mitt and promptly drop it back into the bucket.
Uh-huh.
I'm not throwing it back to you until you're over this virus that you've contracted. 617-779-0985. That's our thoughts on the hand, foot, and mouth. Matt in the car says he actually got the virus
from
his kid.
Horses
Matt, you
hand,
got it?
Hoof and mouth.
Yeah, I got it about 6 years ago. I got it from my son who got it from summer camp. And it is worse than you ever realize.
So you didn't have the mild case.
Your kids had it? No, well, I had considered a mild to moderate case. So you said your kids got it? And how bad it was for them?
Yeah.
It's four times worse. I lost all the skin off the bottom of both of my feet.
Oh.
I had blisters in my throat. I lost fingernails on my left hand, my thumb, and my two first fingers.
Who is this, Jeff Goldblum? What happened to you?
I felt like the fly. I really did feel like the fly. It was disgusting.
Wasn't leprosy?
No, I've heard of this. I've heard of that. This didn't happen to my kids, but fingernails will just die and fall off when you get that virus. Yeah.
I've had my toe stepped on where they end up dying, and you
where they get,
take the
I've
drill, and you just got a little pin drill, and you can squirt it.
The blister.
That's the best thing about football, was when somebody would have their toe stepped on. And you had
best part.
You don't have a good time getting that training room when they get it's a little drill, a pin drill.
A little Dremel.
They hit that thing, and it literally is like a geyser hitting
the
roof.
Yeah. All right. That concludes our discussion right now on the hand, foot, and mouth. We may get back to that at some point today. But let's talk some football, and we'll do it in 90 seconds after Hardy's headlines.
Do you know the bacon?